Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci the run first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Oh, rebound. He scores. Trevor. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Hazelwood. Great program lined up for you today. Billiken coach Corey Tate is going to join us. Chris Kerber, voice of the Blues, will be with us. The Hall of Famer Rick Hummel from the Post, just back from the Cardinals road trip, will also be with us. And right now, instead of the opening monologue, we will start in style with one of the great writers of all time, Mr. Richard Riley. Rick Riley, good to see you, Rick. Good to hear your voice. How are you, sir?
First of all, how'd you get this number? I've tried to avoid you.
Hey, I remember seeing you, and you were kind of discreet in the press box at Belle Reve Country Club. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Is Rick covering the PGA Championship? What brought you there that day?
Well, by then, I knew I was going to write this book about Donald Trump and called Commander in Chief, which, by the way, we're number 8 this week on the New York Times bestseller list. Or, as Trump would say, number 1. So I wanted to get back into golf for a year, so that's why I was there. And what a week that was, my God.
Yeah.
That was
it started
incredible.
The comeback.
I mean, that was as loud as I've heard a course over a weekend since 86 at Augusta. It was just, oh, my God, it was like he was – I remember he walked across that bridge after that round on Saturday. And it was like he was a descending god or something. It was like people just went crazy, Tiger.
Yeah, with all the cool things we have going on in St. Louis sports, that walk across the bridge when he looked back and to kind of soak it all in, I thought that was our best sports moment of the year.
Oh, my God. And he almost won it. And you know what I remember with Brooks, because I walked with Brooks a bunch that day. And not only would so the thing is, when you're playing against Tiger, even if you're not in his group, it affects you because you hear the monster roars, right? But then, as they turn the scoreboard over on each different hole, you hear these echo roars, and they were so loud, just people at other holes where nobody was even playing to see the Tiger number go one lower, and that made him back off a couple times. So any human being would be flustered by that because it's Tiger freaking Woods in your rearview mirror, but not Brooks. He was like a human beta blocker. Nothing bothered him.
Now, I think I'm correct in saying this. Even in the middle of when he could barely get out of bed after one of the back surgeries and he had already gone through the scandal, you actually made bets with a bunch of people saying that he's going to win majors and maybe pass Jack again, right?
Yeah, now, keep in mind, I don't want him to pass Jack because I've never been a big fan of Tiger's personality, but I just felt like he would. He's unstoppable. And even after – this was like 2009 after the leg – winning the U.S. Open on a broken leg and then 14 pancake waitresses or whatever it was. And all my friends were like, he'll never pass Jack. Now I'm like, don't count him out. So I made $50 bets with about 9 or 10 of my buddies. And I have never paid those off because he's only 43, but Tiger's the most fit golfer we've ever had. Okay, albeit he has a fused back, but he has a will of 10 men. And so he almost won the British, right, at Carnoustie.
Yeah.
He almost won in St. Louis with you guys. He did win last week. So I figure he's got, say, 20. If he could play till 50, that gives him about 28 more majors. Could he win two of those? Okay, that's a lot. 3 is crazy, but it's possible. 3 out of 28?
Yeah. I know, like, Hale Irwin had that one high five at one of the Opens with a bunch of people in the gallery, but there's never been anything like that after a match, right?
Well, you know, everybody, you remember Blockbuster Video back in the day of Blockbuster videos, and you go in there, you're like, I'd like to rent Casablanca, and they'd go, oh, we don't have any movies except before 1980. And the thing about golf history is nobody thinks anything happened. Like, oh, there could never have been a moment like this. I mean, Ben Hogan got hit by a bus in his prime and went on to win a bunch of majors. So when people tell me this is the greatest comeback in golf history, no, it isn't. But having covered Tiger since freshman year in college, I've never seen him let loose with how he really feels. I always felt like he got famous way too early. He got burned way too early. And so he never let us in. At that moment, he let us completely in, and it was even more emotional than when he hugged his dad in 97. But the beauty of it was at the exact same patch of grass on which he hugged his dad, and then here it was, you know, 97 to 2019, he's hugging his son, and you could just see the whole Lion King circle of life just come all the way around, and it was beautiful.
I even got to Jim Nance on national television.
I know. And I've known Nance forever. I've never seen him break up. It really was amazing. And, you know, okay, I'm not a fan of Tiger. I think all his problems were unforced errors. But he did stick with it. Anybody else would have quit. You can't even get out of the cart. Take your $500 million and go do whatever the hell you want with your life. And he stuck with it through the worldwide shame he underwent. He couldn't chip for a while. I saw him chip around a bunker once. He was chipping so bad. I mean, most guys don't recover from either of those things. And four knee surgeries, the fused back, most guys would have quit. But he didn't. And to come all the way back was freaking amazing.
If you could make another bet, if one of your friends calls and says, okay, let's make another bet, I bet he doesn't win three more to reach Jack. Would you make that bet right now?
No. No. No, would you?
I don't think so.
But they were, and then people started saying he won't even win another major. I'm like, you don't understand this guy. He's a golf god, descended from the. I've seen him, Frank. I've seen him. I've been on a range with him. I'll roll him golf balls, and he'll hit them as they're moving with a driver off the deck, 250 yards. I mean, it's insane. He can hit a hook the entire width of a golf range. I mean, the guy is just a Mozart. So I never thought once he was out of it.
Did you ever do anything, I should know this, really in depth, or he just never let you in?
No, he didn't let anybody in. I mean, have you ever seen anybody, even the great Gary Smith spent 10 pages on him, and all he ever got was his dad. Remember, his dad said he's going to be Gandhi, he's going to be Muhammad. Remember all that?
Yeah.
The guy that ruined it for us was a funny, good writer named Charlie Pierce. He came in his rookie year, and Tiger loves really, really dirty jokes, filthy jokes. And so he tells people these jokes, and he told him to a limo driver, and then Pierce got in with the limo driver, and the limo driver ratted Tiger out and just painted Tiger to be this awful, crude person and just blew him up in GQ, and he never let anybody in after that.
God, who opens up their comedy with the line, which Tiger has a joke, where Tiger says, what do you call a black guy with a law degree? And the broadcaster said, I don't know. And he says, a lawyer, you racist.
A lawyer, yeah. Right. Now, that's kind of funny. I'm talking about really dirty jokes. But anyway, he does seem to be a changed man. I'm not on the beat. That was just last year for The Athletic, I wrote so that I could write this book about Trump called Commander in Chief. But, you know, it's funny, Frank. So Tiger wins the Masters, and now Trump's going to give him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Well, that's crazy town on three levels. For one thing, Trump tried to cheat Tiger in a match in 2017. It's in the book. He's playing with Trump, Dustin Johnson, and Brad Faxon. It's Trump and Faxon against Dustin and Tiger. They're on the left side of the fairway. Trump and Faxner on the right side. The par four, water in front of the green. Trump fats it into the water. He says to Faxon, throw me another one he didn't see. Faxon's like, what? Throw me another ball he didn't see. So Faxon throws him another ball, chunks that one in. Trump chucks that one in the water. Now he trundles up to the cart, onto the lake, drops, knocks it on. Meanwhile, Tiger, being Tiger, hits it to a foot for a kick-in birdie. Trump's lining up his putt. Tiger arrives and says, Mr. President, what are you putting for? I haven't seen what you've done. And President Trump says four. He's putting for seven, but he's saying putting for four with a stroke. He was going to tie the hole. He tried to cheat Tiger. Secondly, Tiger Woods has this terrific foundation called the Tiger Woods Foundation, which teaches underprivileged kids the joys of golf and also education.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has said three times publicly, golf should only be for people who've achieved success in life and can afford a country club. That's what he said. So how can Tiger Woods go to Washington and take this medal from a guy who doesn't think poor people deserve golf? I mean, it's hypocritical to do it. The next guy, the next woman, the next whoever is definitely going to give Tiger Woods the Medal of Freedom. Maybe years after that, but he's going to get it. Why does he have to take it from a guy who doesn't believe in what he believes?
Did you get any Trump material at Belle Reve?
I'm trying to think who it was. It was one of the guys at Belle Reve. And I said, hey, I heard you got to go into the White House. And he goes, we were playing in Washington, and about seven of us went, DeChambeau and some guys. And we showed up about 8 o'clock at night, and Trump was waiting for us. And it was like we were best friends. And he all hugged us, my golf guys, because Trump really does love golf. He doesn't love the rules, but he loves golf. And so he said, oh, my God, it's great to see you. And he pressed a button. Want to see this? I'm going to press the red button. And the red button looks like it's going to be the nuclear bomb, but it's actually Diet Cokes. And Butler brings in Diet Cokes. So they all had Diet Cokes. And then he says, I'm going to show you, take you upstairs where he lives. And he knocks on this door, and Melania, are you decent? And she's like, and she comes out 5 minutes later looking like $1 million. And it was such, they all said it was so cool. And it was kind of like he didn't want us to leave.
Wow. One last couple of things with you. How about your move? I know you like to go, you spend your falls in Italy, but I'm wondering, at one time, I think of all the appointment things in sports media, the most appointment thing was on Thursdays when Sports Illustrated came, was to go to the last page and read your take. Do you ever, I know you sometimes get bored with sports, do you ever regret that move, or was the ESPN offer so flabbergasting you just had to do it?
I absolutely don't regret it. All things, this too must pass, and it was really fun. It wasn't just a take, though. It was like they were little, I call them little movies, like people's lives, you know, and I hopefully I made people get inspired, or they cried, or they got angry. It was lots and lots of work. And everyone said, oh, that's so easy, 800 words a week. I'm like, you don't see the 12 I kill that I start or that don't pan out. So it was really hard. And I've always been, I mean, I like sports, but I've always wanted to see what the rest of the world was like. So I wanted to see what television was like. That was fun. And now I'm seeing what the rest of the world has and screenplays and stuff. And I really didn't want to write this book about Trump, but I was sitting in Italy, and he starts telling people, oh, I'm a champion. You got to vote for me. I've won 18 club championships, and that's against the best players in the club. I'm a winner. I'm like, you liar. You already told me how you did it, which is that you play – anytime you buy a course, you play the first round by yourself and call that the club championship. And then I knew that he'd won one when he was in Philly, and the club championship was in New Jersey, and he called in and said, I played pretty good today. Make me the club champion. He won one while he was with Kim Jong-un in Singapore, and they were holding it in Florida. So I'm like, okay. And then if he says he's a two – I played with him. He's about a 9 or 10. He's a good player. but he says he's a 2.8, and he's the best player among all the rich people. I'm like, if you're a 2.8, Queen Elizabeth's a pole vaulter. No way.
I'm glad
so
you bought
it. The more I looked into it, the more I saw there were so many lies with his golf world and empire.
I'm glad you said, too, by the way, on the back page, on the column, that it was hard. There's that famous Red Smith line when somebody said, you make it look so easy. He says, I just pop a vein and bleed all over the typewriter. That
right.
was hard every week, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's also a great line from, I think it was Ring Lardner. He said, sorry, it's so long. I didn't have time to make it shorter. And that is so true because, you know, young people don't really realize this, but back in the day of print magazines and newspaper columns, and everyone read them, you had 800 words, and you had to get to the point. You had to be pithy. And in that column, I tried to make it first act, second act, third act, and resolve, right? And to get all that done in 800 words, you had to really kill your darlings. You had to write short, great, truthful sentences. Dan Jenkins always told us, screw the editor. Don't worry about anybody but the reader and write true sentences. And that's what you had to do. But now, in the age of the internet, you can just blather on for 5,000 words and nobody kills their darling. So it really was harder than people think. I'm not complaining because it paid well, but it was hard.
And wasn't your best education just reading Jim Murray every day?
I started reading Dan Jenkins. I started looking at Sports Illustrated for the pictures. And I started reading these hilarious things that this guy was writing about college football. And I figured out who he was. Then I got a job in just out of high school at the local paper and started reading Jim Murray on the wire and Red Smith and all these great guys, Edwin Pope, you know, and then it's just like, wow, this is how I want to spend my life.
Good stuff. Congrats on the book. And we were thinking about you when Tiger Woods was doing his thing. Honored to have you on, sir. Enjoy Italy.
Okay, buddy. Thanks so much.
All right, Rick Riley joining us, Hollywood Casino Press Box. All right, we're broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Hazelwood. We're off Charbonneir Road. We're going to be here till 1 today. Is that correct, Jim? 1 o'clock?
Absolutely.
Very nice. We have the commission a little bit later. Corey Tate's going to stop by. Chris Kerber. A couple of items here. Easter Bunny will be here 12 to 2 on Saturday. Kids can decorate and take home their own cookie free from 12 to 2. What a great deal that is. Kids can find the golden Easter egg and receive a prize at the service desk. Kids can color a bunny picture and enter their picture for a chance to win a Schnucks Build-A-Bear at the end of April. We will personalize your purchased Easter bunny cakes free in the bakery. Sample fest through the store from 12 to 4. We're going to have some great brats here today. They have that fresh cored pineapple too, which we're excited about tasting. All right, we'll take a short time out. We'll have the opening monologue when we come back.